I have come quite a way to get here. Come up from Melbourne just for Swansea Day. It's a great atmosphere. This is my first time being up to Bitterfew, and it's an amazing space. Great beers on tap, great people.
I only got out of bed a couple of hours ago, so to be straight on the beers is pretty kind of unique. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's a lovely day. There's so many people here already, so it's pretty sick.
Welcome everyone to Sessionable. This episode is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who offer awesome beer experiences, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. They also bring you Sydney Beer Week, happening very soon, from the 20th to the 29th of October. We at Sessionable are doing our annual Beer Week podcast at the Royal Albert on the night of Monday the 23rd, so please do come along for another epic session. For the full program, hit up sydneybeerweek.com.au. And for more info on Dave's, check out daves.com.au.
It's Swansea Day 2017, and we're at Bitterfew. We don't have the beer in front of us yet, but we are joined by special guest Topher from Wildflower.
Howdy, howdy.
And Topher, we're drinking something very juicy from you. Oh, and we're all sorry. We're also joined by
the guy who's made all of this possible,
Aaron from Bitterfew, and we are sitting in the back patio of Bitterfew, enjoying some juicy beer from Wildflower. Right?
Yeah, it's something we're going to working on. We've been working on different blends of different proportions of different juices. So this is actually a specific blend of pulp, mangrove, orange juice with some gold. or affectionately known as beer mosa.
It's pretty early in the morning for us.
It's like an IPA.
We're starting with starting with some beer mosas.
It's a unique way to get in the haze craze, man.
Yeah. Definitely. It has the same turbidity as what, like an Omnipolo beer or something.
I got to say, this is the first time I've had a breakfast beer and sat outside doing a podcast.
Yeah, this is
this is the first time I've done an outdoor podcast.
Yeah, this is the life. Yeah.
So we thought we might kick off, since we've got Topher here, talk a bit about where Wildflower is now. Like we spoke to you just before you opened, I think.
Yeah, it was a few weeks, I think.
Before. And it seems like it's been a pretty wild ride since then. Like, how's it been going?
Yeah, really well. Definitely wild. very, very, very good. I mean, we had like great support. We had the launch party here. So actually, last time I was sitting down in this space was
probably the last time you were sitting down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's been excellent. There's been a lot of everyone has been really, really excited about the beers, and people have responded really well to them. I'm happy with how the blends are tasting. Except I feel like a broken record because every time we release a new one, I'm like, these are the best blends. You know, like this is the best one. This is the best one. But that's kind of the whole point of doing the same thing over and over again for us is continually trying to get a little bit better. Also, we had a baby. Well, I didn't deliver it. I'm a male.
Me and my wife. Had a part to play in it.
I had a small part to play. A few minutes. could be generous. my wife and I had our first baby.
Congratulations.
Girl. Thank you. Yeah. Her name's Florence. She was born on Father's Day. So lots of things going on in the household, the Wildflower world, but good, really, really good. Yeah.
And in the meantime, you've launched a new beer with Wildflower, right? A few new beers, right?
Yeah, there's been a few.
Alpha.
Alpha, yep. Yeah. There's a few in the pipeline. So we have three beers, the gold, the amber, and the table beer.
Yep.
But a few months ago, we were tasting some barrels. I tasted the barrel affectionately known as Alpha and then was like, you know what, it had a different yeast strains. Like it had some commercial Brettanomyces in it, so Brett Brucks. And so I went, okay, well that can't go into gold or amber because the label of gold and amber says, you know, forage wild yeast. So that wouldn't have worked, but it was still a good enough beer. So I'm like, well, maybe I should package this. And so it's kind of spun me down this small road of doing some other stuff rather than just that, which it's always something I've wanted to do. Obviously, I've kind of talked about not doing it because it's not the focus and it will never be the focus, but it's still a lot of fun. I mean, people are excited about that kind of stuff. So we did Alpha releasing today, St. Florence. Kindly, Aaron said, you know, could you put some beer in some keg? And he didn't know what it was going to be. And then I was able to name it after my daughter was born. And so we're releasing that one. Then the next month, we'll release that in bottles in October as well. We've got Waratah, which is an entirely New South Wales made beer. So my house culture has some DuPont in it, but I didn't use that yeast for this beer. It's only the wild stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some other stuff too. you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got a Pilsner coming out.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot. Oh god, that's my second
that
debut.
That looks so good. I'm very excited for that.
I'm absolutely stoked. A couple of friends of mine have been working on these sort of all world lagers, stuff that I've seen lagers with pellicles on them and stuff like that. People taking photos. There's some bizarre stuff going on. More just an experiment because no one really knows what they're going to be like. So I was trying to figure out a way to make something else for the cellar door, and because I finish work and I either want a table beer or like a pale ale or something like that, and so like, well, actually I really want a lager. So converted this 500 liter puncheon into a temperature controlled vessel, so it's going through primary and lagering in oak. It's waxed on the inside, just like the pitch and the old Pilsner Urquell barrels and stuff like that. But it's really an experiment, you know. We'll give this one a go. Luckily, there's a few breweries in the area that are continually producing lager, so I can just get lager yeast, just props from them, which is pretty handy. But yeah, I said mid-November or late November. It could probably be December, rather, for just a bit of extra conditioning time. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. Like, awesome. That's definitely maybe not so wildflower-esque, but more like very Topher, like very much me. Yeah.
How is the cellar door going?
Yeah, really well. It's always steady. We like where we are. We're kind of not on the beaten path when it comes to the Merrickville little tour. You kind of turn up Brompton Street and you're like, is this the right place? Like, there's a lot of rubbish. So
it's
Merrickville. Yeah. You know when someone's coming up the road, whether they're coming to us. And it's a really nice vibe. We always hear it. People come in, they say, I was just at Batch and things were getting crazy, so someone's had to come over here. And it's always been like the Sunday afternoon at Batch Vibe, which is so nice. Everyone's really respectful. Everyone's having a good time. And to our delight, people are liking a beer and they're saying, yeah, I'll have another one of that. I'll have another. They're not just coming in and saying, actually, I want one of everything and give me, five meals of each.
Yeah.
It's like they're coming just to enjoy themselves and have a good time and drink some good beer instead of needing to go on this sort of like, I need to try everything.
I think you guys have done a really good job creating an environment that's very different from every other brewery cellar door, and it's just really comfortable and relaxing and homely.
Thank you.
So I think you guys did an awesome job.
The intention was it to kind of be like this extension of, if you know myself or Bernadette, we're pretty hospitable people. We really love having people around the house and drinking and stuff like that. So the cellar doors attempt to be an extension of that.
Alrighty. Now of course we can't forget that today is a very special day. It is Swansea Day.
The main event.
Is that the correct pronunciation? Have we got that?
Swans.
So it's Swansea.
Swansea Day.
I'm going to go with Swans, but...
I'm going to go with Swans.
As long as no one corrects Cantillon today, I won't punch anyone in the face.
You mean Cantillon?
So, Aaron, it's got to be pretty exciting that you've got Swansea Day here at Bit of Few.
Swans. No, it definitely is. I mean, we've been asking for it for a few years now, so... To finally get it, and obviously to be the first venue in Sydney to get it, is obviously pretty special. And I'm obviously with you guys. I think you've kind of ridden the ride with us, so it's kind of good to be sharing it with you guys as well.
It's been, recently Bit of Few was named top beer venue in Australia, which is pretty exciting.
Congrats. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you definitely don't realise what's going on until you kind of get to this point. But it's nice to sort of see that we've tracked consistently better every year. I think we're like 25 or something the first year, then 12 and then 7 and then now we're at obviously 1. So I think that kind of reinforces the idea of what we're doing.
Yep.
As opposed to going kind of like 21 or 50-1. It's a nice reinforcement.
And you're now in an exclusive club of, what is it, sort of 4 or 5 Australian venues that's hosted a Swansea Day.
Yeah, we're running out of cities.
Yeah, that's what are they going to do next year?
Darwin next year.
Right. Has Hobart had one? Yeah. Hobart will probably get it.
Hobart would be good.
It'd be Canberra.
Canberra.
Yeah, that's true.
I drive down.
Obviously, it's a big coup getting it here, being the Sydney venue, the first ever Sydney venue as well. Tell us a little bit about kind of what you guys are doing for the day and how it's all come about.
Well, I suppose it's much easier to kind of like speak about it in under 30 seconds and actually experience what happened.
We're about to experience.
I mean, it's definitely one of those things where, you know, everyone's your best friend on the announcement, and then you know, the day turns around and we'll see who's friends at the end of it. But anyway, I'm not going to speak about previous venues or anything like that, because I don't actually know what everyone did in previous times, but we wanted to do something unique to us, so we definitely sort of thought we want to give people the opportunity to say that we were there on that day. So we did custom t-shirts. A friend of Dylan's designed up the t-shirts, custom glassware. So just so like the day isn't just a 24-hour experience, it's definitely something in 2 years' time you can look back and hopefully you've still got the t-shirt and the glass. So, you know, like that definitely requires a lot more logistical planning.
Yeah.
And you can only imagine everything that you best laid plans or everything kind of unraveled at the end. But yeah, t-shirts forgot to be printed until the last minute and anyway, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we wanted to create something that was not just Zwan's or not just Bit of You. It was actually an experience that people could sort of take away in a few months' time and still talk about it.
Nice. So. Have you had a chance to try the beer yet?
Yeah, like literally about 2 minutes ago. So
New Zealand has a day, right? Is it a garage project?
Yeah, I think it's a garage project. Yeah, garage
so this would Australia would be the second in the world, right, to be tasting it, like time-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually, true. Yeah.
Just for listeners who may not know much about Zwanzee Day, what's the history? How did it come about? What is it?
So it's something Canteon's been doing for a couple of years now.
First Zwanzee was in 2008.
2008.
Day was in 2011.
Yeah. So it's around this time of year every year, Canteon brew a special beer. There's Zwan's Day beer, and it's only released at the at a bunch of different venues.
I think it's
on
60
the same day.
60 this year.
Yeah, so around the world, a bunch of different venues, and then you can try. You can't buy bottles of it.
Not anymore.
Wholesale.
No.
Pardon?
Not anymore. I think the early
no. So I think initially in 2009 it was a bottle release, and then the issue was that bottles were going up on secondhand sellers and stuff like that.
Like stupid prices.
Yeah, like 50 times the list price.
And that's very non-Canteon, isn't it?
Yeah, and so that's what really formed the day, because the idea is the arrangement is that initially when it was bottles, like the venues weren't allowed to sell them as takeaways, only pour them on site.
Yep.
And it sort of developed from there.
Yeah, so it's been going for quite a while now, and Australia's had it for the last, 4 years or something?
Three years. It was Melbourne, Dutch Trading Co., and then Brizzy got it as well. It's fourth. All right, yeah, there you go.
But this is the first year it's in two cities, I think. Yeah.
And as I understand it, the word Zwanzee means sarcastic-type humour in Flemish.
It's like a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a self-deprecating joke. It's like this style of humour, like this whole idea of taking the piss out of yourself is one's basically.
Yeah.
There's actually there's another really good podcast. If anyone listens to Belgian Smack, there's an amazing podcast with Ivan de Beats from Brussels de la Seine. And
he speaks
a bit about Swans in general as what that means in the culture, because that's really runs through their brewery as well, like in the imagery and things like that. Which was the first time for me that I'd heard it.
Yeah.
Really, and it's totally. I mean, besides traveling there with like people that are Flemish, someone in the beer culture talking about Zwan's that wasn't, you know, Zwan's a day sort of thing. But
an excuse for Canteon to do something a little bit out there for them, right?
Not just
down the line traditional.
Exactly, lambic. It is always a bit out there. So this year, I think it's a 2-year-old lambic with oolong tea. 2015 was a Belgian stout, a sour stout. That was quite weird. It was very tasty.
I think there was an Abbey Ale.
Would you say it's not tasty? Like, is it one of those things where even if you don't like it, you're like, oh, this is amazing.
This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Just pouring it down, like feeding your dog.
Yeah. It's expensive.
It's five stars.
So they like to mess around and do some experimentation with this.
Well, it's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
It's like, it's lambic has all this tradition and you know, there's only certain things that you do with it in terms of fruit ferments and whatever. And then this is like taking the piss out of lambic itself, basically.
So what are we drinking now, boys?
This is Topher's new release. Yeah,
awesome.
St. Florence. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
yeah, awesome. Yeah. So what? Tell us a bit about this beer.
It's a blended beer of probably around 300 liters of a Sauvignon Blanc grape referment. So I picked grapes out in Orange this past harvest, some March, brought them back. Put them in the bottom of a 500-liter punch-in, let them carbonic macerate for about a week to really start breaking down the cell walls, instigate fermentation within the berries themselves. This is a whole bunch as well. And then after that week of continuous CO2, we put in a finished beer. It was a beer that was re-fermented. It was a beer that was fermented with a spontaneous beer that I brewed. So I brewed 50 liters of a spontaneous beer and then put that into a barrel and topped it up with more beer in it, and it just aged out. So that was from that spontaneous beer was from Jerangong down south. And so I put that into the puncheon, and those two sort of sat together and re-fermented for about 10 weeks. At the end of 10 weeks, we racked the beer off of the fruit and in back into barrel just to kind of let it sort of calm down. Right at the end, it was right at the end of that fermentation, it was just really punchy. It was, you know, just like anything, you let it age out, everything kind of comes together and kind of set the structure back together. And then we blended that with about 100 liters, I'd say, of basically Alpha's brother. It was just a really old, sort of mature, nice round barrel, which I think works really well, like, with the fruit itself. I mean, grapes are so acidic, like wine grapes, and I'm not a huge fan of, you know, super sour beer in general. And so that the re-ferment itself was, even still after barrel, was still pretty intense. I'm sure some people would have loved it, but it's not what I want to do. So we blended it back just a little. Well, blended it with this other really nice beer, and it's just given it a totally different length. So bottled it and didn't. I was always calling it cuvée at the brewery because we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl. And so when I just kind of looked at what time, I was like, oh, this would be awesome. I can release this for the baby's birthday. And Aaron, you know, had called me a few weeks before we kegged it and said, hey, you know, could you put something on tap for Wednesday? And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I could. And he was like, you know, anything. And then so I ended up like, I think the kegs were here. Oh, no, they weren't here yet. But about a week or two ago, I finally emailed him and said, oh, by the way, this is the beer that you're going to have. And he was like, sweet. So we called it St. Florence, which is obviously pays, you know, like it's for my daughter. And so we'll do this every year as well. Yep. So at the round time of her birthday, we'll release a grape re-ferment. I don't know if it's going to be white next year, probably red grapes next year, but it'll be a grape re-ferment. And my business partner has three kids too, so, you know, there'll be some more.
So one every season, right?
Yeah. Just about, yeah. They're pretty well spaced, the birthdays, that's all I'll say.
Looking forward to St. Florence's Day becoming as big as Swansea Day then. Excellent.
There's a common choice where you have to make, is it going to be Swansea Day or St. Florence Day?
I think
we can't get Swans 2 years in a row, so there we go.
I won't call it.
Well, Garage Project's had 2 years in a row, why can't you?
Breweries are different.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, what are you saying, Topher? Your place is too small anyway.
For the listeners, Topher just raised his eyebrows. And...
I don't know.
So what do we all think, guys?
I think it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah.
How do you find it being your first keg beer?
Man, I was absolute sweating bullets.
Obviously, were you worried about carbonation?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know. You hear lots of different things from different people, and I've put beer into keg and bottle at the same time. That's been conditioned. Mm-hmm. I've always done it, never had a problem, but you just, when it's my own product and also my daughter's name is on it, it's got to be right.
You can't fuck this up. No. Can you? Like,
yeah. I was so nervous about it.
You'll never hear the end of it.
So I was here yesterday, checking the lines and making sure we got a quick pour of it yesterday to make sure it wasn't going to be a nightmare for the guys here as well today. You know, imagine a foamy beer when there's a full bar. It's the worst nightmare of anyone who's serving. So I don't want people to curse me. Yeah.
I think you've done a great job, man. I think the carbonation level's on point as well. I really like it.
I'm happy with it. So what I did instead, so I put it into keg, and then for the first sort of 4 or 5 days of that re-fermentation in keg, I just released the pressure on it every day, just once. So there was a small build-up in that initial point, and then I just released it. And that was a total, you know, feel call, but I think it's worked out.
It's worked out, yeah.
I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Toph, but it's very pet nat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely from, like, skin contact. So.
It's just light, spritzy, like everything you'd want in a pet nat.
It's just meant to be. I mean, at the end of the day, like, the only thing I can guarantee with our beers is that they're going to be refreshing and drinkable, and that's it. Like, it's definitely the most reminiscent of full-on sour beer, I think, beer that we've put out, in my opinion. You know, it's kind of airs on down that road of that pretty harsh acid, but because of that other barrel, really rounds it out, so it still isn't just really zippy. But yeah, I appreciate that because that's always the intention with what we do.
I would echo that. There's, like you say, that it's sour enough, but it stops short of any sort of astringency. It's still really nice and refreshing and, you know, balanced and rounded. I love it.
Shouldn't have brushed my teeth off this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that one beer. Yeah. That's fucking gorgeous. Yeah. It's really good.
Well, we have a few bottles of that. We have a few more bottles of that than Alpha, and we'll release that in October.
At what point are the us beer nerds going to have to fight off against the wine nerds over Wildflower?
They should never have a problem.
Do you find with the the venue and I guess also your sales that it's a bit of a mix between the beer community and the wine community? Because they definitely had that that sparked a lot of interest in that song world, I guess.
Well, I mean, I won't say it wasn't intentional. It was every brewery out there is kind of doing their own thing, and I think that a lot of breweries that are opening up need to, if you are thinking about opening a brewery, you need to focus on one part of the market, or at least attempt to access a different part of the market that someone else isn't doing. And it was something that we thought about for a sustainability of our own. You know, if there wasn't a huge amount of people from the beer community that were going to be interested in our beer, well, we still needed a market for that. So I'm fascinated with wine. I'm really interested in it, by it anyway, and winemaking. So it kind of fell naturally then for me to make connections in that world. And so we sell the beer in a number of high-end restaurants and places that maybe are more associated with the natural wine movement.
Awesome.
Which is really, really good. But we really enjoy that. But it's not like a priority thing between either of them. It's just more that.
Well, I think you're the one brewery where they can both come together, right?
I mean, I think a lot of breweries can. I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding between some of the two worlds. And you know, for me, the way that we talk about it, the way that we handle the beer, maybe that's just a little bit more. They're a bit more used to that. Like, it's a bit closer to what
it's in their comfort zone.
Yeah, it's in their comfort zone. So if this helps them break out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, equally, like, Cantillon itself is... Cantillon, Jean Von Roy is huge friends with a lot of Loire natural winemakers. So much of... They put on, you know, Vini Beer Rebellion every year. There's, like, that... And then that beer is quite savory. I mean, you go to Attica and Melbourne, they've got back vintages of Cantillon. Like, so it's their beer as well. I don't really want there to be this difference between, that's my wine crowd and that's my beer crowd. It's not at all intentional like that.
So you guys come from 12 to 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you come from where?
It's
a low blood. Yeah. But no, you shouldn't have a problem with
that. I'm just winding you up. Yeah.
Aaron, actually, kind of the same question for you, because with your other venue, Creek and Cello, you've got a big focus on natural wines. You see, is there an overlap between the interests? Or
yeah, so I was going to say, I mean, just to echo what sort of Toph is saying, I mean, without, on any given night, there is definitely a bottle of, you know, we'll just say Wildflower, and then another wine, and you can see the table physically sharing what's going on, and even to the point where, and I suppose you can extend it to almost people who aren't aware of it, going, oh, what is this? Is this wine? Is it beer? People who are a bit naive. And I mean, I've been, for me personally, I've definitely been more kind of involved in the natural wine crowd now, and it is interesting listening to wine people talk, and then you bring something up about beer, and their face just goes kind of blank. And then as soon as you kind of mention natural wine, they go, oh, yeah, but and they start talking about it. And you could literally replace a few different words, and we're basically talking about the same thing. So, I mean, yeah, I think there is a bit of naivety, I guess, with that whole thing. There is a huge, I think, grey area where it's a flavour, not a beer, not a wine. We're all after that kind of sour acidity but balance. And it just happens to be wine, and it just happens to be beer, as opposed to wine or beer.
I talk about, there are sensory experiences.
Yeah.
You know, food, cider, drinks, different, you know, people who are interested in palates and flavors tend to gravitate towards products like these that kind of offer different things. They offer complexity and nuance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And those are flavor experiences, whether you find that in wine and beer, in cider, in distilled drinks, whatever.
It's the same. And I mean, like, we've had people come up and they've just heard about Wildflower through whatever means, and they'll buy it and they go, oh, that's really nice, you know, almost surprised by it, whatever. And then you tell them about Alambic and they're like, oh, what's that? Then they buy that and they go, oh, and then everything kind of, like, you can see in their faces that everything just kind of clicked in. So yes, I mean, if Wildflower happens to be that missing link between the beer and the wine community, well, so be it. Hats off.
Yeah, that's a big compliment, I'd say.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, awesome. If it is.
All right. Well,
so I think, just before we finish up, because we won't have a time to go through every single beer that's on tap, but do you want to just talk us through what else you've got available for Swan's Day?
I suppose the next biggest thing, I suppose, just as a... I mean, the guys did brew it a while ago, but Sam and Dan from Shenanigans brewed a Brett series utilising a few different yeast strains.
So we had a few kegs left over from their tap takeover a few months ago. So we've selected their Beersall strain to put on tap. Just, I mean, we're once again just going back to the Wildflower thing, but also to sort of say with the Shenanigans thing, we're trying to, I suppose, showcase an Australian version of what, I suppose, what Canteon's doing, or the progress that we've made, I think, as a brewing community. So, yeah, I think they're the two highlights for Australia anyway. And I wanted to showcase that.
Yeah.
For anybody who is travelling interstate or out of state.
Yeah. As well as you got a few Canteons on tap other than Zonzi.
Yeah, so, oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a few other Canteons. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. So, yeah, we've got Iris, Creek, the Straight Lambic, the Gers. Oh, there's five on tap.
Yeah,
on
Lambic, awesome. Yeah.
Sessionable. Sydney's biggest and best celebration of beer is coming up in just a couple of weeks when Dave's Travel and Events Group bring you Sydney Beer Week. Special shout out goes out to our guests for today's episode. Please do check out their events during Beer Week, like Wildflower's Waratah beer release, or Bitterfuse's Stranger Things themed evening. For more info, go to sydneybeerweek.com.au, and for more on Dave's, check out daves.com.au.
What do you think of the beer?
Solid.
Just solid?
Solid.
Quite subtle, quite delicate flavours. Nice.
I love the beer so far. Three sips in. Just tastes pretty good. Nicely acidic.
I didn't expect to like it that much because of the tea. I kind of thought, oh, it's going to get a bit too tanniny. But there's a beautiful fruitiness to it. It's really good. And as it warms up, a bit more pungent tea, but not overpowering. And I'm on the Wildflower now. And that's just, oh, words can't describe, so...
The Swansea Day beer was really, really good, but the Wildflower Florence so far has just been sensational. I look forward to when it comes out in cans.
Alrighty, so we now have the Swans beer in front of us. So,
you've had a sip already, Aaron, so do you want to maybe talk us through what you thought about the beer?
Just having a second check.
I love the colour. The colour is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Sort of this orange, yellow,
peachy, deep peach sort
that's
of,
a good, that's a hue. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
You definitely get a lot of that tea, sort of tannic kind of.
Yeah, and it, but it does have that house sort of Canteon yeast character, that sourness.
I think I was just trying to drink the microphone.
Dude, it's not even 11 o'clock yet.
It is a big night. Don't take this as a negative, but does anyone else get like sort of a beef jerky, boiled hot dog sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely get a bit of that. Thanks for ruining my Canteon experience.
No worries.
But the excited look on Moby's face when he said it, he's like, yeah, yeah.
I was like, no one's going to like this.
All right. So as usual, you wrap it up with recommendations. So we'll do the rounds of non-beer first. We want to go? No. Brad was like, no.
Brad's out.
No, let's go non-beer first, but we'll start with Tofu.
Yeah, non-beer Radiolab podcast. Awesome. Podcasters generally listen to other podcasts.
Yeah,
if you don't listen to it, it's only like once a week from NPR, just Radiolab,
and it's
very interesting.
Yeah. So well produced. But I think that was one of the first ones I ever listened to.
So good.
Yeah.
Late on the train there, but
yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to it for a while, but it's a late recommendation. But if you haven't, get onto it.
Alrighty, you got one, Liam.
I went through my spirits cupboard, which I'd forgotten I had a little while ago, and cracked open a bottle of 1997 Bastillord Armagnac.
As you do.
I'm back on the Armagnac train. Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting my tweed coat out and my corncob pipe. And yeah. But seriously, try some good Armagnac. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. That's my non-beer record. What are you judging me for?
I'm not judging you.
Yeah. I can see that look in your eyes. Armagnac. It's the way to go.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
I'm going to recommend the TV show The Good Place. It's now on Netflix. So last year, season one was out, but you had to, you know, I found it off the back of a truck, I think. But this, it's on Netflix Australia now. All of season one's on there, and they're releasing new episodes of season two as it comes out. It is fantastic. Basically, Kristen Bell, she wakes up to find herself dead and in the good place. So she's died and gone up rather than down. But she very quickly realizes that there's been a mistake and she's not meant to be there because she's an awful person. And that's basically the concept of the show. And it's very funny. It's very well done. And it, the whole first season, I watched it all at once and it was really good. Do you have one, Brad, yet?
No, I don't.
Okay, cool. Do you want to go beer then?
Okay. My beer recommendation is the Tuatara Vastafarian 2017 edition, which I had yesterday out of the bottle. Green hop beer, super oily and fresh, full kiwi hops, Ruaka, Nelson, just pungent kiwi exploding out of the glass.
Yeah.
Right up my street, loved it.
Awesome.
You got a beer, Topher?
I'm going to, again, recommend the small ale from Colonial Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think any time I come to this podcast, I'll just keep saying the same thing.
It's beautiful beer.
But alongside that, Four Pints Kolsch.
Adrian's wearing a Four Pints shirt as well.
Yeah, is that pre...
Well, to date this for anyone, yesterday was the buyout.
We'll talk about it later. You got a beer, Liam?
Yes. No, yeah. Actually, you know what? Tom and I... Does Armagnac go to Hannah's a beer? Tom and I went to the Pump House yesterday, and it's the first time I've been to the Pump House, and I had a fucking great night.
It was good fun.
Lo and behold, we were there for an event and playing Mario Kart all night.
We came second.
We came second out of... How many teams was it? It was...
Oh, I think
two.
Like,
about six rounds
there were like
or something.
24 teams or something.
Two teams.
Like, all up.
Two teams. We got our ass handed to us by Moondog.
In the final.
But...
History won't remember you guys.
No, we won't. But I haven't been to the Pump House for ages.
Anyway.
And the Pump House was going off. It was fucking awesome.
Good beers.
Had some great beers. It was packed. They were playing sick tunes. It was just a really good atmosphere.
What beers did they have on?
So we went for... It was a Bounty Hunter event. So they had three taps of Bounty Hunter.
The new Bounty Hunter sour was really good.
But they also had a Moondog IPA on, which I hadn't heard of before. They had the Four Pines double Australian Double IPA.
And the Fresh and Season as well.
And the Fresh and Season. Yeah. They had like...
Akasha Fire Within.
Yeah,
which tasted really good.
A really fresh Akasha Fire Within. Nice. And I think it was an Akasha double Black IPA as well.
No, there was a Shark Island.
Black Shark Island Black IPA, really which good. Actually, that should have been my beer recommendation. Yeah. That was awesome. But
cool.
I had a great night at the Pump House. And I've been there for a long time. It was
good
cool.
to hear the heritage venues in the city still going strong.
Yeah, it was cool. Really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And mine is we recently did a Honda Puttigiriet tap takeover at the Royal Albert Hotel. And kind of keeping in the theme of what today is, their Tinned Bic 2016 vintage, which should be out in bottles around Bucket Boys bringing into the country. And it's a sort of a lambic style sour. It's not lambic, obviously, but... aged in barrels with sea buckthorn in the barrels, and it's got a really... It's
what
really
is that?
Nice. Sea buckthorn's like a... It's a weird, like, really sour berry, I think, that is, like, almost inedible.
Is it a coastal berry?
Yeah, I think so. It's sea buckthorn, yeah. I think it's got, like, a weird, like, a really acidic... really acidic, I think slightly salty flavor that it's
because
not really,
it's at the sea, right?
I may be, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
And
this is one.
And it was really, really good. I think it was the first one to blow. It was one of the best beers on tap.
Awesome.
By far, and they were all fantastic. So that's my beer recommendation. And I think that wraps up this episode. We'd love for you to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And also, if you like the show, we would really appreciate it if you could log into iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called, and
rate
and review us. Yeah.
And also go visit Wildflower.
Yeah, go to Wildflower.
Sour beer is the next big thing, guys.
Yeah, and
don't, you've heard.
Don't forget to rate Wildflower on iTunes as well.
Yeah, please do, yeah.
and help come to our Sydney Beer Week event.
Sydney Beer Week event.
Monday,
we're doing a live
Monday
show.
Of Sydney Beer Week.
Oh, shit, can I also plug mine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
October 21st, Sydney Beer Week, ooh. Wildflower and Friends, public session. We're starting at 8 a.m.
It's not going to be very friendly
a la public brewing session at Canteon. We're starting at 8 a.m. with Tech Talks. All the details are up there, but we've got two chaps doing coffees and pastries. It's the morning after the gala event, so it's going to be dusty, but get yourself up, get there, totally free. Just come along. Beer mosas, for sure.
BYO orange juice.
BYO orange juice. But no, we'll also be releasing Waratah, that 100% New South Wales beer that same day.
Sounds great.
That's the event.
Definitely going to that.
If you ever want to get your head around brewing in general, or just pick some brains of some really knowledgeable people about beer, I think you have put an awesome lineup of people together
Definitely.
It should be useful if you do any brewing at home, or you're at all interested in using local ingredients, whether that is malts, hops, or yeast. Malts, silly.
Before we go, Aaron, do you want to quickly tell us what you're doing for Beer Week?
For Beer Week, we are doing the Barrel Age event on Wednesday. Which we've got a bunch of different barrel-aged beers, which we've been doing for a couple of years now. And then on Thursday, we've give the brewers a bit of a theme to work towards, so Stranger Things, the TV series. The brewers have essentially brewed a beer, either a one-off keg or only released for the event.
Nice.
A concept based around that. So, you know, all the beers will be named after, or most of the beers will be named after Stranger Things concepts. So Stranger Hops, Monster IPA. There'll be a few other events, but...
like 4-11s on tap or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, funnily enough,
Every beer is going to be number 11, right? Yeah.
No one did number 11. I was just like, somebody do it.
I'll do one.
And I even suggested a few people do a Winona Rye IPA or something like that. No one did that either. I was like, okay.
So, that's
why you're not a brewer.
Yeah. Or why I should be a brewer.
All right, and I think we should wrap it up and let the venue open, basically.
All right,
Swans.
Let's do it.
Go Swans.